Well, this morning we want to continue some more of this fellowship regarding the what they had for the Chinese-speaking New Year's conference. And the brother shared last night, the brother has been very much burdened on this matter of the body of Christ. Amen. And the reality of the body of Christ. And, you know, these verses, I just like to back up just a little bit into last night. You know, as we were singing these songs this morning, I was just touched that when we are those who are eating the tree of life, you know, according to Revelation 2:7, the tree there is a particular Greek word which means wood. And it's the same Greek word that is used in 2 Peter 4, where there Christ was hung on the tree. So the tree there in itself typifies the crucified Christ. So when we eat the tree of life, we're eating the crucified Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it's not a matter of trying to be one who crucifies yourself. It's a matter of eating the one who is the tree. Amen. So that we can be those who are enjoying his crucified life. Amen. But praise the Lord, it doesn't stop with just the tree. It also has life. So it's the tree of life. So the tree brings us into the crucifixion, but the life brings us into resurrection. And I really enjoyed last night that, you know, when you have death, you also have resurrection. And I enjoyed that when we're put into the mold of Jesus, Paul didn't touch the mold of Jesus until he touched the power of Christ's threefold dynamic power. In Ephesians 2, you know, he talks about the threefold power of Christ. The resurrecting power, right? That raised Christ from the dead. Then there's the ascending power that not only raised him from the dead, but it took him through all the forces of Hades, hell, all the powers of the air, and brought him to the throne in the heavens. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a power. You know, you consider what kind of power it takes to get these rockets up into space, right? Well, that just is a few miles up into the atmosphere. This is a power that took him not only out of death and Hades, but through all the powers of the air up into the third heaven. Wow. And seated him at the right hand of God. Amen. What a power. Amen. And not only that, it subjected all things under his feet. Amen. So it's a subjecting power. It's a resurrecting power. It's an ascending power. And it's a subjecting power. And this power is in us. That is why he can bring us to chapter 4, where he talks about being conformed to the mold of Christ, as you have learned Christ. Because we have this power in us, now we can be those who learn Christ. This is Paul's thought, because you can see this in Philippians 4. He was conformed to the death of Christ, not first. It was by the power of his resurrection that he was conformed to the death of Christ. So if we're not those enjoying the power of Christ's resurrection, we will never be conformed to the death of Christ. We will just have some kind of asceticism where we're just imitating. But when we have Christ's powerful resurrection, ascension, and subjecting experience of this power, then we can be conformed to the death of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Death and life, they always go together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Death and life, they always go together. Amen. So this morning we're coming to the next part of the title. Is the title on that? Okay. The general subject of this is living in the reality of Christ, keeping the principles of the body. Let's read the title of this message together. The Oneness of the Body and the Functions of the Body. The Oneness of the Body and the Functions of the Body. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm still too much of the old man is with me. Because when I see something like this general title, living in the reality of the body of Christ by keeping principles of the body, automatically my mind goes to something that I need to do. I don't know if you're like me, but that's the way that's my first thought, is what, now I've got something else to do. Not in just one thing to do, but a bunch of them, because it says principles. And, you know, everything is by principles. The whole human life is a matter of principles. You could, you know, I looked this word up last night. I was curious, what does principles mean? And it says it's a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as a foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. That's one definition. The second definition that was there was a fundamental source or basis of something. It's like a law. It's something that everything is based on. So all of the created things are here and exist because of a certain law. Well, when we look at the law of creation, where we are, and everything goes by a certain law, why wouldn't we think that the spiritual things would also be according to a certain law? They're not just going to be happenstance. If God created things in a very orderly way according to certain principles, and they exist according to these principles, then we should, when we get into the spiritual realm, perceive that these would be the same kind of principles. There would also be principles according to this. So when we're talking about this weekend, don't look at this as something that I've got to do. In a sense, it's like this says, they're guidelines. They're the basis. You know, when I was in London, over there, you know, they all drive on the left side of the road and the opposite side from where we drive, right? It's the wrong side. And when you go to pull out to make a right-hand turn, instead of turning into the closest lane, you've got to turn into the farthest lane. I didn't drive that much over there, so that wasn't a problem. But I am a pedestrian. So here, when you get ready to walk out into the street, which way do you look first? You look to the left, right? Well, over there, you don't look to the left. You look to the right. You look to the left and you step. You may be the object of an oncoming car. Well, you know, I live in America, so that's not one of my principles of being a pedestrian. The principle here is look to the left. But there, it's normal for them to look to the right. Well, you've got to go by a different kind of principles. Well, this is what we're talking about in this conference, is we're looking at the principles related to keeping, you know, living in the body of Christ. There are some principles to live in the body of Christ. And the brothers last night gave a very good history. You know, you can find this history that they were talking about in the collected works of Watchman Nee, Lee from 1994 through 97. In volume one, he had a time with the elders from Taipei he gave four sessions to them. And in those sessions, he basically gave the history of the Lord's recovery starting with Watchman Nee back in the 20s and 30s. Showing and telling that Watchman Nee was one of the first ones, even though there was Western Dip missionaries over there that had brought the Lord and had brought the matter of salvation, to China. Watchman Nee was the first one to thoroughly expound and explain the matter of salvation. Up until that time, salvation in a thorough way, the inward and outward aspects of salvation, was never explained. But with Watchman Nee, he began to explain this. So we got the real help in the matter of salvation. Then the second item that he showed us was the matter of the church. And the church, he showed both sides of the church. He showed the negative side of the church, which some of that you can see in Miller's church history, about the degraded side, which we see with Thyatira and Laodicea and some of those things. But he showed the positive side of the church, which is the recovered church in Pergamos and in Philadelphia. So he showed the church in both sides, not just church in the general term, but the church in the degraded side, the church in the very positive side. And from then on, he went on to showing that Christ was life. The church is the church because Christ is our life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Christ being our life. And that this is so marvelous. You know, one of the first books that I read that began to stir me up, even after being a Christian for a number of years, was a book by Ian Thomas called The Saving Life of Christ. And reading that book, I realized my Christian life is really short. It's not up to even the standard that this man sees. But before him, there was Watchman Nee, who was sharing the matter of Christ as life and his saving life. Then the brother shared last night, you know, he went on in 1942 to start talking about the body of Christ. And at this point, the brothers there couldn't take it. They took the matter of the church, and eventually, when he started speaking about the body of Christ, they took what he had shared on the church and started using that against Watchman Nee, saying the church is autonomous, the church is local, there is no one church doesn't control another church, we're all autonomous, so we're here to take care of our own situation. And because of their attitude of not going on in the progression of the revelation that the Lord was showing Watchman Nee, a dissension came in. And this dissension caused his ministry to stop for 6 years. So from 42 until 1948, he didn't minister. Then in 1948, he began to come back. And when he came back and when the brothers were starting to receive him back, Brother Lee says that he was so strong to tell them that what you have done is you have set up your own kingdoms. You have set up your own native churches. This is nothing related to the body of Christ. This is just something of your own autonomy for your own kingdom's sake. So at this point, Brother Lee said that he went on, shortly after that, the brothers sent him to Taiwan, and he went on and ministered on the matter of the body of Christ. And he said he ministered on these three things, particularly when he came to the U.S., salvation, the church, Christ is life, and the body of Christ. And his ministry of this continued in this kind of a way until into the 80s. And in the 80s, he began to see if Christ is really our life, then God needs to be dispensed into us. God only can be our life if life is coming into us. So he began to minister on the dispensing of the triune God into our being. And this is when we begin to hear terms like the consummated process triune God, the mingling of God with man. You know, these kind of terms showing the dispensing of God into man so that Christ can really be our life. Not just a terminology, but he can be mingled with man and dispensed into man, and man can gain God. The other thing, you know, that as you read through that section, Brother Lee makes the comment, he said, if the brothers had seen the matter of the body of Christ and the oneness of the body, this could never have happened. Amen. This dissension, this separation could never have happened. It happened because there was no seeing of the body of Christ. They were completely blind to what the body of Christ was. So this morning, we want to go on in this matter of seeing some principles. Amen. And the first principle and the basic principle of the body of Christ is that it is one. It is one. There is one body. Praise the Lord, I don't have two bodies. I just have one body. And Christ also just has one body. Praise the Lord. So, rule Roman numeral 1 says the body of Christ is uniquely one, universally. You know, saints, there's no way that any of us can cover these messages. If you look at these outlines, this is front and back for these messages. There's books that are written on this. And I, you know, I'm a little aside this morning, but we were singing these songs this morning. You know, this one, 1240 particularly, this was one of my favorites back in the 70s. But how much I saw as I was singing this morning, I thought, man, what a shallow realization I had of this song. But praise the Lord is always going on. Amen. He's going deeper, yes. He's going higher. Amen. There's so much more to gain of this Christ. Amen. And as we were singing that song this morning, again, within me, I thought, Lord, I don't want to have sat here and think I have heard this. Because I have sat in so many meetings, and I've listened to brothers speak on these things. And I've read these things. And I think a lot of us are in the same boat. But Lord, our prayer this morning is, Lord, take us deeper. Amen. Take us higher. Amen. We want a more understanding and a more of a clearer view. Not so we can expound the truth, but so that we can live this. We want to have this kind of a living. We want this kind of an expression on the earth today. And you know, when it comes to the matter of oneness, you know, let me give an illustration a minute here. I'm just, what's your name, brother?
David.
Bob, let me borrow you too. You know, when we get saved, the oneness that we receive is the oneness of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, the Lord reaches out, and he reaches out here and he saves David. David calls on his name. And the first thing he does after calling on the name of the Lord is he wants to find some other people just like him. So he searches around. And the first one, I'm sure, is the one that preached the gospel to him. So if Mike's the one that preached the gospel, he just wants to be with Mike.
Right.
And so maybe Mike knows Bob, and Bob, they get together, and then Dan is here. And they're all enjoying this kind of fellowship with one another. You know, this is the way we were when we first received the Lord. This is the way we were when we were stirred up by the Lord, is we just want more fellowship.
Amen.
So we're enjoying the fellowship, but because of the way things are in Christianity today, sorry to say, you know, Dan's got his ones that he's with, so they're kind of pulling him. Yeah. You know, these people, they're not absolutely right as far as the way they feel about the millennial kingdom. You know, they need to be. And then pretty soon, you know, Bob is here, and well, have they talked to you about baptism, you know? The kind of water that you got to be put in, whether it's running or whether it's upside down, or You know, and pretty soon, all these ones who were enjoying such a fellowship, we're one, but kind of holding hands over a fence. And these fences become our doctrines, the teachings, the things that we get drawn off into. One day, the Lord comes back to us and we realize, hey, forget that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be those who are just one. So we enjoy, But you know, saints, this is good, but then we're living in the church life, enjoying the church life, and all of a sudden, one of the brothers in the lead says something to one of the brothers, and they didn't treat him just right. So I don't know if I really agree with what they said. So the next thing I know, I'm not out of the church. But inwardly, my attitude has started to pull away. Pull away. And we, you know, on ourselves, we wouldn't think that that is something of division, because we're still meeting with the saints. But if we check our attitude, something has happened in our inward attitude. So we need to have a repenting. A repenting to the Lord, come back to where we don't care for anything but Christ.
Amen.
The only thing that keeps us together is Christ himself.
Right.
Anyway, thank you, brothers.
Amen.
The enemy is subtle. You know, we're here enjoying the Lord in the church life. But so many things happen. So many things happen. You know, I was with Brother Lee. Ray and Vincent and I were with Brother Lee one day. And a situation happened in Anaheim with a certain brother and some brothers. And, you know, he's just sitting there in the living room kind of musing and talking to us at the same time. And he says, I don't know why these brothers can't be one with this brother. I just don't understand it. Why can't they be one with him? He wants things done a certain way. Why wouldn't they be one with him? Why wouldn't they do it his way? You know, I can't give the whole thing. You'd understand if I could give you the whole thing. But the thing is I have a way. Lyndall has a way. Rob has a way, Dan has a way. All of us have our ways of doing things. And are we willing to set aside what we are to take someone else's way? To take another one's way is not to do anything other than just to take Christ and the cross. Anyway, sorry, I have no intention of going through this whole outline because you can read it on your own. But the body is one.
Amen.
This is a fact.
Amen.
And this body is one not only locally, but it's one universally.
Amen.
So the local expression is just a model of the universal oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Just like the moon is one, right?
Yeah.
It's just a matter you see it in a certain locality. So it's the moon in Kansas City. Where I live, it's the moon in Arlington, Texas. But it's still the same moon.
Right.
It still has the same reflection. It has the same appearance. It has the same shining. There's nothing different. It's just you're viewing it in a different location. So eventually, the body is one. Praise the Lord. Universally and locally.
Amen.
And this universal oneness is the ground that we are standing on. The locality makes the ground real. It's what keeps it. The ground, the locality keeps the oneness. So if you see that you have to be one and you're living in a particular locality, then you have no choice but to join with the saints who are in that locality.
Amen.
There's no other choice.
Amen.
So the ground of locality maintains and keeps the oneness. I'm on point A. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the oneness of the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't, you know, the Lord first started stirring me personally when I was in Alaska. And I probably told this story, but I wanted to play for a certain basketball team. You know, up there it's dark, basically 9 months out of the year. And you got to find indoor recreation, and I like basketball. So there was this group of guys that were really good. And I knew them real well, and they wanted me to play with them. And the only trouble was they were sponsored by a saloon. And I wanted so bad to play with these guys. And I did my best to rationalize with the Lord, but he would not let me go. Is this who you are? You're a believer. You testify concerning me, but you're going to play for this Red Dog Saloon. And he would not let me go. So eventually, there was some other guys who were all Christians. They were all brothers on this team. They were the worst team in the whole city of Fairbanks. But the Lord said, they're the ones you're going to play with. Well, anyway, I don't remember much about those basketball games. But out of that time, we started meeting together in a small group in a home, in several of our different homes. And in that time, we really got to know one another. We were all different denominations, but we agreed that we were going to come together and not talk any doctrine. We would read the Bible. We would pray for different situations. We would pray for new ones we were burdened for. But we would not discuss doctrine. And the Lord really blessed us. We saw people get saved. We saw ones, you know, I almost hate to, really, we saw ones healed out of our times. And, you know, my daughter one time was having a major coughing spell. She had asthma real bad. We thought we were going to have to go home. And we eventually, just out of the prayer, the babysitter called us up and said, she's fine, everything's okay. Just stay and enjoy. But we really enjoyed something of the oneness of the body of Christ in a taste, not in the reality, but in a taste. And but the Lord wants to recover this among all the believers, but not everyone sees this. But we're here as those who have seen something of the oneness of the body. So we are those coming in this kind of a way. So the number one, the body can exist and survive only in oneness. Amen. Only in oneness. This is an atmosphere, a condition, that the body can only survive in this condition of oneness. You take it out of this, you just have the bones in Ezekiel scattered all over the valley, right? Two, the Lord is burdened to recover the oneness of the body of Christ. Three, the practice of the oneness has been lost, but we wish to satisfy the Lord's heart to recover this oneness. You know, here in John 17, this was a prayer by the Lord in his, he was aspiring that the believers would see the matter of oneness and be kept in the oneness. That was a threefold oneness. And eventually, this oneness comes into the oneness that's in the glory of the triune God, right? So eventually, this oneness is the glory of the triune God. You know, you read these verses and it ends, you know, part of it is there regarding they would be kept in the glory. And this glory comes out of the oneness expressed. When oneness is expressed, glory is there. So we need to be those who are aspiring in the same way that the Lord here. He needs to put this aspiration into our hearts that we would aspire. You know, John, the Bible's progressive, right? We see Genesis as seeds, then it progresses through the Bible, and it grows until eventually you get to the harvest of everything in Revelation. Well, John is kind of the sprouting of some of the seeds that are planted in the Old Testament. If you want to see the culmination of the sprouting that's in John, you've got to go on to the epistles. So you got to go on to Romans, to Ephesians, Philippians. So the aspiration that the Lord had here was practiced when you get to Ephesians. So you've got to put John 17 with Ephesians 4 to see the practice of the Lord's aspiring. So the oneness in that was aspired to by the Lord in John 17 is actually practiced in Ephesians 4. So when we come to be, it says the unique oneness of the body of Christ is the oneness of the Spirit. Here we see there is one Spirit. One body, all the ones that are there, right? But even here, saints, he doesn't touch this until he tells us in Ephesians 1 that we were sealed by the Spirit. You can't keep the oneness of the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit. So, of course, in John 3, we see that we're born of the Spirit. Then in Ephesians 1, we see that he sealed us with the Spirit. Then when you come to this matter in 4:3, you have to keep the oneness of the Spirit. You've been given this Spirit, and the oneness comes with this Spirit. It is the Spirit. So now you need to keep this oneness that you have received. So the Spirit in one is the essence of the body of Christ. Hence, the Spirit is the reality of the oneness of the body of Christ. Two, this oneness was imparted into the spirit of the believers in Christ in the regeneration by the Spirit of life with Christ as life. With the Spirit comes this matter in Romans 8:2 of the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life is oneness. It just wants oneness.
Right.
It just wants all the ones that are members that have received him as life to be one. You know, this is an interesting phenomenon with my body. I can start just dismembering the thing, and it starts out live, but if you start taking it apart, eventually it's not going to be live.
Right.
So we need to be those who maintain and keep this oneness. It's been given to us. So we need to keep this oneness in the uniting bond of peace with the transformed human virtues. You know, I never looked at these in this kind of a way before. You know, we have the divine attributes, which are the reality of everything. We have the human virtues, which are the love. So the human virtues that we have been given are all these things, listed in Ephesians 4:2. It says, we need to keep these things. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. These are human virtues. But if you try to do it on your own, you'll never make it. We needed the Lord with his divine attributes to fill in our human virtues with his divine attributes. We need that hand to come into that glove so we can bear with one another. We're not all transformed yet. We're in the process. We all have to realize we're in the process, right, Gary?
That's right.
We're all in the process. And if sometimes you're going to get some feathers with this chicken meat, well, you just throw the feathers away. We don't have to eat them. But I can guarantee you, as long as we're here and not transformed, there's going to be some bones and feathers that come along with the Christ that we feed each other. So we have to learn in our spirit what's meat and what's feathers. We eat the meat and throw away the feathers. We bear with one another. We're long-suffering with one another. We're meek with one another. Praise the Lord. So the ground of the local church is the unique oneness of the body of Christ. That is the oneness of the Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, the locality is what safeguards us. You know, I keep coming back a lot of times to that verse in Proverbs 29, says, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. There's nothing to hold you. You're just the dough that flows all over the counter. If you don't have a vision that we're put into a mold of Christ, and this mold has confines and it has principles that we need to maintain, then we're just flowing wherever we want to flow. But praise the Lord, the keeping of the oneness is in the locality. This is the safeguarding thing. So, see, the genuine oneness of the body is the processed and consummated triune God who mingles himself with the believers. The processed and consummated triune God mingles himself with his chosen and redeemed people in their humanity. This mingling is the genuine oneness of the body of Christ. You catch that? This mingling is the genuine oneness of the body of Christ.
Amen.
If we're not allowing the Lord to mingle with us,